He's an assistant professor at Governor's State University, former director for the study of fraud and corruption. He's an attorney, a CPA, a certified fraud examiner, certified forensic accountant, and Chicago election commissioner. He's Bill Cressy. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
That's me, and I'm known as Professor Fraud, which, by the way, is a registered trademark. So.
Professor Fraud is here, ladies and gentlemen. Don't try and use it because he'll get you.
But if Marvel Studios wants to buy it, my people will talk to their people.
There you go. You got people. That's awesome. Because you should. I'm looking at your resume. Oh, my goodness. The University of Illinois at Chicago. You have an MS in accounting there.
Right.
You have a BBA in accountancy at the University of Notre Dame.
Correct.
You're a licensed attorney.
Yep.
CPA, chartered global management accountant.
Yep.
What is that?
That is a worldwide certification for management accounting as opposed to financial accounting, sometimes called cost accounting. And I'm good at that too.
You know, the list goes on. I've got pages of stuff here, but we're only on until 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
So we got to get right to some scams. What are some things that people are telling you that are happening? There's a lot of them.
Of course, because as my motto says, fraud never sleeps. And it really doesn't, because while you're sleeping here in Chicago, there's someone on the other side of the globe who is figuring out a way of separating you from your money. And the latest right now are the phony text messages, supposedly from state agencies in Illinois. And to use a term, we are in a pandemic of scam text messages. Practically, I'm not going to say all state agencies in Illinois have been victimized, essentially, or their names have been used, a lot of them. Illinois Secretary of State, Illinois Department of Transportation, Illinois Department of Employment Security. You get these text messages. They seem to be targeting telephones in this area, probably going at the area codes of cell phones. And you get a text message sometimes with a very dire warning that if you don't click on this link and answer the questions, which, of course, would require you to give your name, social security number, blah, 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 they're going to close the file on you or revoke your license or, like the one I got, revoke my commercial driver's license, my truck driver license. I don't have one, but I'll still lose it. You have to look at, and my favorite was this one from the Illinois Department of Employment Security that starts out, I love the language too. Due to numerous number of fraud claims, we request you verify your identity. So they're coming to you, we're trying to prevent fraud.
Yeah. 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 There's a red flag right there.
Yeah.
I know of this. Personally, I recently took my daughter to get her driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
6 hours later, when we get closer to the front of the line, there were people coming saying, "I got this on my phone. I got this on my phone.
Yeah.
What do I do? What do I do?" And you know, the people who work there roll their eyes and say, "It's a scam. Don't worry about it. Everything is fine."
Right. Right. And people, the folks at Employment Security are getting the same thing. People are showing up saying, did my boss fire me? I don't know what happened. I got this notice. I didn't think I had an open file with you people. And it's like, no, they're just, it's shotgun approach. They're
right.
Just sending out these messages, hundreds of thousands at a time. So.
Right. Right. And we can't really kind of generalize on people who fall for these, right? I mean, anyone can do it because it for the most part, it looks legit.
Well, if you take the time to study the language, very often these have bad grammar, which makes me think they're probably coming from somewhere around the globe.
Mm-hmm.
But they make you panic. It's like suddenly, oh my God, I'm going to lose my driver's license. I'm going to lose my income. I'm going to lose my unemployment benefits. I better. And all I have to do is click on this little link and it'll be taken care of.
They make it so easy.
Yeah. It's we all have to build up. I hate to say this, build up a distrust of any message you get, whether email or a text message. I don't think we have to worry about faxes anymore. So I think, you know, we
can scratch that off the list. We
can scratch, you know, the fax from the Nigerian prince, you know.
There you go.
I think we just have to, and we have to listen to that little voice in the back of our head, which, you know, is like a million years of evolution that tells you, don't walk through that jungle, right. You know, telling us this is a scam. Too often we panic and we respond. And that's when you walk into the jungle or walk into the forest at night and right. And the guy comes out with a hatchet. You've seen the movie.
Yeah. Several times. We got to take a quick break here. Sure. When we come back, you mentioned text messages, and I think I heard somewhere that they're kind of cracking down on robocalls. Now, is that a cause and effect thing? We'll talk about that coming up next. We're talking with Professor Fraud, Bill Cressy, here at 720 WGN. We're here with Professor Fraud. It is a band called The Frauds. That's the name of the band, The Frauds.
How apropos.
I searched for it high and wide, and I thought it was apropos to talk to you right now. He's Bill Cressy, also known as Professor Fraud. We left off talking about robocalls. They have been cutting down on robocalls. There's new legislation about it.
There's a new legislation on it. Our federal law enforcement community has been cracking down on robocalls, even around the globe. They're working with our friends around the globe to crack it down on that. And it seems that with the heat being applied to robocalls, that they've just said, okay, well, let's do it via text. They've got out there in the dark web, they've got these caches of telephone numbers they can use that they know are mobile numbers they can send texts to. And you don't need a boiler room full of people who are going to respond. You don't need all the equipment you would need for a robocall. Boom. You got a computer?
Yeah.
You can send out text messages.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about this maybe at the end. Let's touch on it now. How do you keep up with this? How do you know what's next? Is there a way to do that?
You listen. Go to ProfessorFraud.com.
Look at you.
Professor Fraud on Twitter. Professor Fraud on Facebook. But you just have to, you know, go to Google and ask to, you know, have it, you know, automatically search fraud every day and see what the latest fraud news is. Because as my motto is, you know, fraud never sleeps. And there are always, and that's one of the great sort of intellectual games about fraud, is you're always trying to keep up with what the next thing is. Sadly, every new improvement that comes down the line to make our lives easier, a fraudster will figure out a way to use it to his advantage.
Because that's what they do.
Yep.
That's what they do. Speaking of which, it's coming up here in Chicago at the end of the month, Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen, and, you know, predominantly a younger crowd, and they're going to get scammed.
Yes, they will. And especially this year, after it being canceled last year, because of this pent-up demand, my prediction is it's going to be a whole lot of scams. With the past years, we saw these scams. Lollapalooza uses a wristband for admittance. And we saw in the past that people would, you know, print up phony wristbands and people would sell them online. And sadly, the victim shows up and the barcoding on it doesn't allow them in. And so they're stuck outside. And in some cases, I mean, the tickets for Lollapalooza or the wristbands, they cost a lot of money, several hundred dollars. But on the secondary market, and this is why fraudsters often go to ticket scams, the secondary market is so strong. And so for in the past, I know phony wristbands were going for like $2,200.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and they have you send them the money, wire it to them. Of course, they'll use Western Union, or they'll say, go down, get a prepaid debit card and send us the numbers. Well, as soon as they get those numbers, it's been cash. Boom. There's no going back.
Yeah.
So, and you're out $2,200 and sitting over on the other side of Columbus Drive.
Right. So there's still Western Union that's still around?
There's still Western Union. Okay. Yes, wow. Yes. They, but it's, and And that is really, I mean, there's a big red flag right there. Western Union, because when you wire money, you give it to a name in some city, and it could be in Chicago. Well, you can go to any, essentially any currency exchange or other Western Union outlets and pick up the money. So they can't follow, you know, can't track it down. So
yeah.
It's a big one.
Other things that are top of mind and that they take advantage of, vaccine cards. We were talking about that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this, and as this goes forward, you know, some airlines are talking, some other foreign countries are talking about passports and those vaccine cards you got, if you got your vaccine, like I did, they can be easily copied. Right now, I could send you to a website that has the blank of the vaccine card. You could print it out, fill it in yourself. And for a long time, the feds said, you know, we're quiet. And it didn't look like they could do anything. Well, the FBI, or rather the Department of Justice, came down with an opinion that there's an obscure federal regulation that says copying a federal seal is illegal. So since the card has the Health and Human Services seal up in the corner, if you copy it, that, they say, is illegal. They've yet to charge anyone or, you know, try anyone for that yet.
Illegal on the federal level,
though. On the federal level, yeah. So if this gets to be a problem, then there might be prosecutions. But we know on eBay, people are selling phony vaccine cards.
Right. Yeah, right. So keep an eye out for that. Travel scams, very, very popular as well. And we talked about concerts. That's opening up. There's more and more concerts,
right,
and people are gobbling up these tickets.
Right.
They're also opening up travel.
Right.
What's going on with that?
Well, this is because, again, pent-up demand is out there. My lovely and talented wife and I recently tried booking a resort hotel in Michigan. Book solid. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what do people do, especially those with families? They turn to, well, let's rent a home. Let's, you know, get a vacation rental. Very often VRBO, Vrbo, and Airbnb are already booked. So you look to Craigslist or you look to other sites and you say, oh, look at this gorgeous home and this great price and look at all these great pictures. This is what we do. And you put down and they press you. Well, we got somebody else looking at this property. You have to send the money right now. And you send a lot of money and you show up and ring the doorbell. And the owner is there going, yeah, who are you? Because it turns out that house was for sale like 2 years ago and the photos are still on Zillow or Realtor.com or Redfin. They took the photos, posted it, and it looks gorgeous. And you just lost, you know, $3,000 and your family is in the car wondering why we're not going into the house.
Oh my goodness. And you brought something up. My son just rented an Airbnb. He's coming back from Florida. And he got a great deal on this Airbnb, and I'm like, I thought it was good, and then now I'm like, I got to call him right now. Excuse me, I'm going to call him.
Yeah. Well, wow. I'll tell you, if you go through Airbnb and Vrbo are pretty good at checking things out.
Yeah,
and so you can be fairly, really confident in those. It's the, and I'd hate to keep talking about Craigslist. They do great stuff too. But unfortunately, the bad guys often go to Craigslist and a couple other sites and use that to get in touch with the victims.
Right, right.
Yeah, but lots of other travel scams out there. Because it's so lucrative, they will set up a phony look-alike travel site or airline site. And sell you stuff. You give them the credit card information, especially if it's debit card information. They love that. And they're off with your money, and then the site disappears. So
why debit cards? Talk to us about that.
For one thing, credit cards, they like debit cards because as soon as they get that money, it's theirs. Okay. Credit cards, they have to work through a bank in order to get the money deposited into their account. They have to build up a relationship with a credit card, which is why you should always use credit cards, because even under the law, you have a lot greater rights if you use a credit card and something goes bad than if you use a debit card. And certainly if you use a prepaid debit card, because as soon as the funds are gone, boom, and you'll never see the money again.
And a lot of times your credit card is a debit card, so...
Correct. You have to be careful with that. So, try to use a true credit card, and because the better credit card companies will have a customer service complaint line you can go to, and they will very often reverse the charges. The better banks that do credit cards have really good security departments. I've worked with a lot of them. They have really good people in there. So the major banks will take care of you.
Got it. We're talking with Bill Cressy, also known as Professor Fraud. How do we keep up with this again? Is the Better Business Bureau, are they an option?
They are a great resource. They keep an eye on things. People, if you have a complaint, go to them. They will put it into their files. They will put it, they monitor the various frauds that are going on around the countries with our chapters all over the country. And one of the things you'll see is like a fraud will travel across the country. There's almost a pattern. It starts up in the Pacific Northwest, moves down to California, then comes around the country through the Midwest and ends up in the South last. It's just the pattern it seems to follow.
Okay. How do we keep up on the latest scams, the big items that we need to look out at?
Well,
where do we go for that?
Wait, turn on your computer and Google fraud. Go to Google News. Watch the news. Buy a newspaper. Okay, read a newspaper every now and then.
Daddy, what's that?
Exactly. I sometimes, with my students, make them subscribe to newspapers, and they're like, can't we just go online? No, I want to see you on campus with a newspaper under your arm.
The guys we had on from the Tribune are loving that right now. They're funny. Very good. Very, very good. So where do we go for your information? Where's that at?
My information is professorfraud.com, also Professor Fraud on Facebook, Professor Fraud on Twitter. I was named one of the top five professors on Twitter. A forensic accounting professor, forensic professors on Twitter. So,
wow.
Yeah.
It's an honor to talk to you, sir.
Well, it's great to be back here in the lovely studios of WGN Radio, home of millions throughout mid-America.
There we go. Bill Cressy, Professor Fraud, thank you for your time, sir. Continued success from all of us here at 720 WGN. All right, we're talking about getting back to normal at work. That's next after we check in with our friend Roger Badish in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here at 720 WGN.